They told me that since we started the book of Job, I guess a lot of you are going through great trials. I guess myself too, you know, because it's been amazing. You know, I got sick about 8 months ago, right? Remember when I went through that whole thing? Well, coming back from Chile the other day, about 4 days ago, I started feeling the same symptoms. As I was going, okay, Lord, what's going on here? You know, what's going to happen? And the Lord reminded me, well, you know, he said, you're teaching the book of Job. So I want you to understand that, you know, what you're going through and whatever you're facing, that I'm with you. And as I began to read the chapters that we're going to be studying tonight, the Lord really kind of really spoke to my heart because, you know, if you have your Bible, turn to Job chapter 16. We're going to read chapter 16 through 20 tonight. And one of the things about these great chapters, you know, we're kind of like in a valley for the last couple of weeks because Job is facing some great difficulties in his life. I don't know what you're facing here tonight. And at the same time, you may be thinking, well, why is God allowing me to go through these things if I'm a Christian? Well, the Bible tells us that not only Christians but non-believers suffer. We all suffer. And why do we suffer? Because of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Because of the actual fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sin is the issue. And yet, you might feel sometimes when you suffer that God is not really on the throne. That he's not listening to you. Because of what you might be facing tonight. And I can tell you that when I went through my valley. I mean, I'm a pretty cheerful person. I never get sick. I never go through a lot of stuff, you know. I mean, in my own personal life, pretty healthy. But with this past year, when I went through that valley, that was really a valley, you know, where I started flashing back and going back to Vietnam and having the smells and having the fears and feeling kind of weird as this acid would come up through my throat and hit my brain. And right in front of the physicians as they were checking me out, it happened, you know, and they were kind of blown away by the whole thing. That Satan tried to bring fear to my life. I'm not a fearful person. To the point where I had to sleep, you know, with my wife holding my hand like a little child from the fear that I had. Locking my windows, locking my doors, very paranoid. And then the Lord coming in and touching me. And healing me. And then at the same time, Satan always tries to bring fear to our hearts. Imagine how Job must have felt in his own personal life once, you know, Satan was allowed, as we studied, that God allowed Satan to go ahead and first of all attack his family and his wealth, his bank account. And then as he lost all his money, and then he lost his family, his children, and then God once again allowed him to be physically tempted, where boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, where he could not stand, he could not sit, he could not lie down, and he was in desperate pain. And then his wife said, why don't you go ahead, Job, and curse God? I really believe that that's where Satan wants every one of us individually to come to that place and say, damn you, God, for whatever you're going in your life through. But know one thing, that God will never tempt you far and beyond what you cannot bear. With every temptation, what does he do? He brings us through. If we're true children of God. True children of God. And yet this evening we continue with Job's story. And we're going to see now Job's response to Eliphaz. Eliphaz, one of his friends. You know, because when he was way down, his three friends came, and when they saw his physical condition, remember, they sat down and they wept and they cried for 3 days. They could not believe what Job looked like and what he was facing. Job becomes a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Type of Christ. Because I don't think that anyone has ever have to gone through what Job had to go through. Only Job and Jesus. It was horrible when you read the whole story. Horrible what Job had to go through. And maybe here tonight, you've gone through some horrible things in your life. And Satan not only is trying to mock you and bring and put fear into your heart, but surely we can be assured tonight that if God is for me, then who can be against me? Who can be against me? As I was flying back on that airplane, I felt that nausea coming back up a little bit again. Immediately I said, Lord, I'm in your hands. And Lord, I know that you're with me. And I understand that the devil's mad at me because, you know, the damage we're doing to the kingdom of darkness. Watching all those pastors coming, some of those pastors in Peru, some of those pastors in Colombia coming, listen, by bus 36, 40 hours driving to come to the conference. Imagine that. No comforts. But coming because they're called by God, coming because they want to receive God's word. And many of them have been through hell. And maybe tonight you're here and you are actually going through some pretty heavy things in your life. I want you to know that you don't have to worry, that Jesus is with you. He'll be with you and he'll be in your trial and he'll take you through. Remember the three Hebrew children of God in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, when the king took them and put them in the fire, they saw a fourth one. And who was the fourth one? Jesus was with them in the fire. And they did not smell like the fire and they were not actually burned by the fire when they came out of the fire. Yes, we're going to go through the fire, but he's with us in the fire. No matter what we have to do. It could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional. And yet we know and we understand that if God is for me, then who is going to be against me? Nobody. Because now in chapter 16 and 17, we see Eliphaz's second speech, his second speech now. And in chapters 18, Bildad, the other friend, gives his second speech. And in chapter 19, Job gives his response to them. And finally, in chapter 20, Zophar's second speech comes to pass as he begins to speak. So now we begin in chapter 16, Job's reply now to his friends. And he says to his friends, you guys are miserable comforters. Imagine what he says to them. Why does he say that? Because when they came, instead of comforting him, they were condemning him. You ever have people like that in your life that always are condemning you? There are people like that. People that have nothing good to say at any time. All they can do is demean and put down. We call that verbal abuse. It's really important that we understand that if we are truly, you know, Christians and living in such a time as this, where everything in the world is changing rapidly, there's instability in all the governments of the world, even in the United States of America, that we understand that God not only is moving his timetable, and there are going to be great tragedies coming and happening in the future. Not for the church, but for the non-believer. As the Lord approaches his coming. And right now, as long as we live here, yes, we're going to be tried. We're going to be sick. We're going to be done and we're going to be bummed out. But man, the Bible says we need to look up. Why? Because our redemption draws at night. And so Job, in listening to his friends, not comforting Job, but putting down Job. Now Job answers Eliphaz. And what's amazing here is that Job finds himself totally forsaken by men. You ever feel like that? Like you're all alone? I felt like that many times. All alone. And then when you're all alone like that, the enemy comes in like a flood and begins to put doubts in your mind and in your heart. To some people, they get so depressed, they start drinking. Some take drugs. Some escape through sexual adventures. And yet, we as the church, we as God's bride, we as Christians need to understand that if Jesus was 100% man, 100% God, and He had to go through hell on this earth, then what makes us better than Him? We can't. We have to, by grace, receive whatever comes in my life. Because I know that God is with me. And I know that God is for me. Nothing shall separate me from Jesus Christ. Nothing, Paul said. Not height, not power, nothing. So listen to Job now, what he says, beginning with chapter 16. He rejects Eliphaz's analysis of the situation and fights back now by calling his friends or calling his critics miserable comforters. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. He's had it with them. That's it. You guys, if you can keep your mouth closed, thank God. But don't talk to me anymore. You ever have people like that, like, hey, shut up. Don't talk to me anymore. Job felt like that. He says, shall words of wind have an end, or what provokes you to your answer? He said this, shall empty words have an end, or what provokes you to your answer? I, Job, also could speak as you do. Hey, I could get back to you. I could say a lot of things about you. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. You know, it's like when you're sick, you think, you know, people come and criticize, and you say, oh man, wait till you're down, I'm going to come and harass you. You know? Because you don't feel good, and you really wish they would leave immediately. But they keep talking over you and saying things to you, and you can't really move because you're so sick. And Job says, you know what? When you get to that place, I'm going to be there for you. You know? Verse 5. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved, and if I remain silent, how am I at ease? But now God has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. Isn't that something? He's so bummed out that he says, God has worn me out. Isn't that something? He begins to look down on God. And yet God is in control. When he talks about my company, that's of all his children that God took away from him. Remember, God allowed his kids to be killed. And he was stripped of everything. Verse 8, you have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. Notice that. His body was wearing out. Physically, he was wearing out. He says, he tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. He's talking about his friends. Where are my friends? They're my enemies. I can't believe that they have no comforting words for me. But it's a put down all the time. God has delivered me to the ungodly. God has allowed this. And turn me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. Notice that. He's saying, God has done this to me. Job is down, man. Really down. And then he said, his archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall to the ground, that bitterness. I mean, God really doesn't care about me. You ever feel like that? Like, God, where are you when I really need you? And you start getting bummed. And then the devil comes in and starts saying, yeah, you know what? God doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. Look where he put you. Look what you're going through. Curse God. You shouldn't even pray to God anymore. Why go to church? Why read your Bible? Why pray? Verse 14, he breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. Literally, here he's saying, God has made me a floor mat for everybody to step on. You ever feel like that? Like everybody stepping on you, cleaning themselves on you? Job was bummed out, man. He was out and down. 15, I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. That is, he's running with sores. Imagine having sores and they're running sores. And they itch and they burn. His body's covered with them. My face is flushed from weeping. All he can do is just cry. And my eyelids is the shadow of death. Really? I'm close to death. I think I'm going to die. I mean, Job is really down deep in a pit. Although no violence is in my hands. Notice that. Literally, I do not know why this is happening to me. He says, and my prayer is pure. He says, O earth, do not cover my blood and let my cry have no resting place. Notice the language he uses here. He says, surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. That is, he has been accused of what? Of misreading his friends. And yet, he says, God knows the truth, Job says, but where is God? Where is God? Where is God? God keeps the record. Verse 19, surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. God, where are you? You ever feel like that? He says, oh, that one might plea for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. He literally is saying, why don't you pray for me instead of accusing me, my friends? If you're really my friends, pray for me. Quit accusing me. Today we have the Holy Spirit. Christ is an advocate. We can go to him if we're in need. But imagine how Job must have felt all alone, and these guys kept pressing him and accusing him and putting down everything he said. And I mean, Job has had it with them. He's done. Verse 22 says, for when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. He says, maybe pretty soon I'm going to die and get out of this place. Chapter 17, now Job continues. He says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Literally, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to depart. I had it. Are not mockers with me? In reference to who? His friends. And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? The friends were condemning Job instead of helping Job. Surely we need comforters, not rebukers. When you're sick, when you're down and out, you need people that are going to love you and are going to help you. Verse 3 says, now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake my hands with me? Literally, who will make an agreement with me? For you have hidden their hearts, that's speaking of his friends, from understanding. Therefore, you will not exalt them. He who speaks flatterly to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. Whoa. Think about that for a moment, how he felt to the place where, hey, why don't you just spit on my face? Because there was no love behind it. There was no compassion. But, you know, may God help us to learn from Job that when somebody's really out and out, you know, and down, that we may not only comfort them, but that we may have a heart like God's heart to actually love them and to help them. May God help us that we don't rebuke, that we don't put down, that we don't falsify anything that God says, but that we really have the love of Christ and compassion for people that are going through the valleys. And there are deep, deep valleys people are going through. He says in verse 7, my eyes also has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like a shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and at the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please, come back again, and of you, he says, come back again, all of you, for I shall not find wise men among you. Speaking of his friends, there's not one wise person among you. My days are past. My purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is near. They say in the face of darkness, and if I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness. Notice that. He's in total despair now, speaking of the grave, when he would die. He felt like dying. He did not want to exist anymore. Maybe you're here tonight, you feel like Job. You don't want to live anymore. But you know, it's amazing that, you know, at the end of the tunnel, there's a little light. Just hang on. If God is for us, then who can be against us? I don't care what you're facing here tonight, what you're going through tonight. The Lord loves you. He cares for you. He's compassionate. He's caring. He's loving. And it's a time in your life, a season in your lifetime, that you're going through these things, and we're all going to face things in our lives, and it's only to make you a better person and to get closer to the heart of God if you allow God to work in your life, like Job. Job can't see chapter 38 and 39 and 40, 41 and 42 yet. We can. We got the whole Word of God now. He can't see it. He's writing history for us. He's writing his story. And maybe today, like Job, you're writing your story. You can't see to the end of your death when you're going to die. But God right now is working in your life. Step by step, day by day, month by month, year by year, to produce something good in you. So then when you get to heaven, you'll be usually greatly blessed by the Lord. So here is Job again. Verse 14, if I say to corruption, that's decay, the body of in the grave when it decays, you are my father. And to the worm, you are my mother and my sister. That is the maggots. When you die, what happens? The maggots come into your body. You turn, you know, it starts in the body. He's talking about his body. Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of hell? Sheol, the grave? Shall we have rest together in the dust? Job is really in a low place in his life. I mean, he is bummed. And then, all of a sudden, as he comes to the lowest part of his, you know, his life, here comes the other friend now. Bildad, his second speech in chapter 18, notice. He gives him a series of proverbs here. And then Bildad, the Shuhite, answered and said, how long till you put an end to your words? Gain understanding, and afterwards we will speak. Can you imagine? I would have got up and punched that guy immediately. Can you imagine that? I mean, he's just crying out to God, and he says, these guys are not my friends. They keep putting me down. They don't have any comforting words. They don't really care about me. And here comes the other one now. How long till you put an end to words? Gain understanding, and after we will speak. He says, why are you counted as a beast, as an animal, and regarded as stupid in your sight? Imagine that. Who? He says, you who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you, or shall the rock be removed from its place? The light of the wicked, speaking of Job. Job, you're wicked. Indeed goes out in the flame of his fire, that's not shine. You know how many times we misread people? We don't really know the people, but we misread them and we judge them. That's what he's doing with Job. He doesn't really know what Job is going through internally. in his mind, in his heart, in his body physically. And yet he's condemning Job. Condemning Job. The light is dark in the tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. Notice that is literally, Job, you are condemning yourself with your own words. Notice that. Verse 8, for he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. Literally, Job, you have been caught like a fish on a net. You've been caught just like a fish on a net. Job, you walked into a trap. Can you believe that? He didn't have to hear that. Imagine that. The net takes him by the heel, he starts explaining to him. And a snare lays a hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him is on the road. You know, you're walking along, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, the trap takes you up. Job, you don't have discernment. Terror is frightening him on every side and drive him to his feet. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is uprooted from the shelter of his tent, and they parade him before the king of terrors. And they dwell in his tent who are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwellings. I mean, who needs friends like him? His roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. Literally, again, notice the memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. That is, people will forget about him. Job, let me tell you something. You're going to die, and people won't even know who you are. Wrong. Because we're reading about Job. You see? He's not comforting. He's putting down. He is driven from the light into darkness, a chased out of the world. He has neither son nor posterity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Notice that here, Job here lost all his children, but God, he can't see. Remember I told you, he can't see chapter 38, 39 to 42. God is going to bless Job more than the first time, but Job can't see it. Those in the west are astonished at his day, and those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. Wow. His friend here is really putting down Job. Who needs a friend like that? Imagine that. To have someone come to you hurting, and then they take your wound, and they say, does this hurt? You know, and they press down on it. Imagine that they spit on you. That's these guys that are come to Job. Job now replies. He comes right back. He knows that he now for a little bit wakes up and then goes back into depression. Then Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Hey, you guys, stop talking to me. Stop talking to me. But you know what? In this chapter, we will see Job's faith in God. Even though, you know, sometimes people believe in God. I've talked to people in the hospitals. I've seen people when they're dying. And for a moment, you know, well, by the way, Sharon's grandfather, which was an incredible man of God. He spent most of his life in Israel when he was older. And one day when he came back from Israel, Satan, you know, when he got sick and he went into a rest home. In the rest home, while he was waiting to die, Satan came to him for 4 years and told him that he lost his salvation and lost his soul. Imagine that. A minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time you would talk to Grandpa Cobb, he would say, do you think I'm still going to go to heaven? You think I'm still saved? He was tormented for 4 years in that bed waiting to go to be with Jesus. You don't know what's going to happen to you when you get old. You don't know. The torments that people go through when they're old in those rest homes, especially if they don't know Jesus. That's why we prepare today our hearts with Jesus. Because if we're going to lose our minds, we're going to become senile, or whatever's going to take place in our lives, we need to be ready. I have another friend that I went to school with, one of my best friends. Now they found out that he has something wrong with all his joints and everything, that eventually he's going to lose all his joints and he's going to be in a wheelchair. And he's only 59 years old. And this guy is athletic. He's a surfer too. It's sad. Imagine being healthy and all of a sudden they tell you, you know what? You're going down. But you know what? Every one of us are going to get old if the Lord tarries, and we're all going to die. And we need to prepare for old age. And we need to prepare for young age too, because something can go on when you're young. And if you don't have the Lord, imagine what kind of comfort you're going to have. None. But it's so good that we know God's word and we put God's word in our hearts and our minds. As you lay there and you are tormented by Satan, you know, you can pray. You can call upon the name of Jesus. Whatever else God wants to do in your life. But here it is with Job. Again, he says in verse 2, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times, you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. Imagine that. You don't even care. And yet you call yourself my friends. If, verse 4, if indeed I have erred, if I really have gone astray, my error remains with me. Notice, no one knows it but me, I guess. If indeed you exalt yourself against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then, he says, what? That God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. Notice, now he starts blaming God for a little moment here for all the calamities. God, it's your fault. Have we ever done that? Oh yeah, we've done that. All of us here. Job doesn't understand what God is doing in his life. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. You don't understand what God is doing in my life. Why? Because we trust God by faith. By faith. I've never seen God. But I trust his word. I trust him for what he's doing in my life. And whatever, and remember I told you when I got sick, immediately I got on my face crying before the Lord. I said, Lord, if I go crazy, I will never, ever, ever, ever blame your name. I will hold on to your name forever, Lord. He's my assurance. He's my Savior. How can I ever deny him? I can't. I can't do that. And that's what Satan wants. And if I would do that in my insane mind, God knows my heart and God knows your heart. Just like Grandpa Cobb. I mean, he was tormented, but yet we knew he was a godly person. He was saved. And finally, Jesus came and took him home and comforted him. But look again, 10 times you have reproached me. Verse 4, and if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. And if indeed you exalt yourself against me and plead my disgrace against me, notice, know then that the God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. So again, all the calamities are God's fault. Now Job's really down. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. God doesn't hear me. My friends don't hear me. God don't hear me. And if I cry out really loud, notice there is no justice. Who comes to my assistance or my help? Nobody. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my paths. God has stripped me of my glory and taken my crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side. I am gone. My hope, he has uprooted like a tree. And God has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies. Notice that. God is mistreating me, he's saying. God, quit mistreating me. Job doesn't understand. He's bummed out, man. He's going through a lot of stuff. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp all around my tent. God has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. My whole family turned against me, and even my friends, those who dwell in my house, and my maiden servants count me as a stranger. I am not an alien in their sight. Even his servants did not pay attention to Job. Imagine that. You ever feel like that? Like you're all alone, rejected. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. You feel isolated totally. I call my servant, but he gives me no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive. You know, my breath stinks. Notice that. To my wife. And I am repulsive to my children of my own body. He was in such pain and sores were so bad that his breath and his whole body stunk. He was so bad. Even young children despise me. I arise and they speak against me. All my close friends hate me, and those who I love have turned against me. Wow. We've all been there. Notice that. My bones cling to my skin, to my flesh. I have escaped my skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, oh my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Notice he's totally alone. Can somebody please help me? Is anybody out there that can say, Job, don't worry, you're going to be okay. We love you. Nobody. Nobody. Notice that. What does God do? God wants sometimes to come to each one of us and bring us so that we hit bottom. So when we hit bottom, we can look up. We can look up. When we don't hit bottom, we don't look up. You see, but God wants to take Job to the bottom, so he hits the bottom, so when he gets to the bottom, he can look up to God. Verse 22. And why do you persecute me as God does, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Notice, literally, you don't have to add more to me. God already is doing things to me. I have enough persecution already. Verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in the book. Job, it is tonight. We're reading your words. Imagine, he did not know that. That in 2007, we would be reading his words. He could not see that. He could not see that. We cannot see what's going to happen 2010, 2015, 20. We don't know. But God already knows, you see. But here we have Job. Verse 24. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and led forever. And then check this out. Out of total despair, just for a little moment, a window of light opens up. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns with me. Wow, Job. True faith. Notice that. True faith in God. For a moment, he came out of the darkness, and he realized God is on the throne. God knows me, and he's allowing these things in my life. In despair, he comes out into victory. And then what happens? He jumps right back into darkness. If you should say, how shall we persecute him since the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword for yourself, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. Know that he tells these men that God will punish them for what they have said to him. There is a day of judgment, and whatever you said to me, God's going to hold you accountable to his friends. He rebukes them. He says, God's going to get you. And then what happens? Here comes his other friend now. So far, his final speech. The portion of the wicked. Watch what he says. And then so far, the Neophyte answered and said, therefore, my anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil within me. You know, he really now makes Job really mad. Because here again, he's judging Job again. I have heard the rebuke that reproaches me. The spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. Do you not know this of all since man was placed on the earth? He now gets very scientific here. That the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. You know, he's acting like a smart guy, you know. Verse 6. Though his haughtiness mounts up to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, yet, notice, he speaks of Job, he, Job, will perish forever like his own refuge. Can you imagine that? Those who have seen him will say, where is he? Job, you're going to turn into nothing. Good luck, my son. Can you imagine having a friend like that? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Yes, he will be chased away like a vision at the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor his place behold him any more. His children will seek the favor of the poor, and his hands will restore his wealth. His bones are full of his youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, he hides it under his tongue. Though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keeps it in his mouth. And check this out, to Job. Yet his food is of his stomach turned sour, and it becomes a cobra of venom within him. Job, you're all messed up. That's it. You're full of poison. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras, and the viper's tongues will slay him. He will not see the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and cream. I mean, Job, you're going into darkness. You'll never see the light. You'll never be blessed. He says he will restore that for which he labored, verse 18, and will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business he will get no enjoyment, for he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build. Notice that. So far speaking against Job. And then notice the accusation. Because Job knows no quietness in his heart, he will not save anything he desires. Nothing is left for him to eat, therefore his well-being will not last. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. Every hand of misery will come against him. Oh man, good friend. When he is about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath and will rain on him while he's eating. Job, God's going to get you good. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn. It comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his skull. Terrors come upon him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures. And unfeigned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. Job, God's going to judge you, and the earth's going to judge you. The increase of his house will depart. His goods will flow away in his day of wrath. I mean, he already lost everything. What's this guy talking about? What more can he lose? You know, but his life. And yet, this guy, instead of comforting, what is he doing? He's putting down and putting down and putting down. He's taking that sword and he's pressing on it. Go ahead, Job. How does that feel? And then finally, verse 29, notice. This is amazing. This is the portion from God. You're getting what you deserve from God, Job. This is the portion from God for a wicked man. Job, you're wicked. The heritage appointed to him by God. Notice, I mean, this is amazing. Amazing. How can you have friends or people at your bedside or wherever it may be that do not know what they're talking about, and all they can do is not bring comfort but discomfort and put you down? And put you down and never, never really be your true friends. That's, well, we'll get the next story next week. I mean, next Wednesday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this great book of Job, Lord. Lord, right now we're in a tunnel, but Lord, we know there's light at the end of the tunnel. And Father, for people that are here tonight that are going through very, very heavy things, we pray for them, Lord. I pray for them, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would touch them tonight, Lord God, that you would reveal to them, Jesus, your presence. And if there's anybody here tonight among us, just with every eye closed, every head bowed, you're not a Christian, you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that if you're not a Christian and if you die, you'll go to hell. But if you come to Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, and you confess him to him, he'll cleanse you and wash you by his blood. He'll write your name in the book of life. He'll give you the assurance of eternal life. And if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. That's what the Bible says. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to give their heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to get up out of your seat right now, walk out onto the aisle, and come up here to the front and stand right here by the staircase, and I want to pray with you. Why? Because Jesus calls us publicly. He said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. He always calls us publicly. We're going to worship. As we worship, and you want to come, young, old, I don't care who you are, you get up and you come here at the front, stand, and we're going to pray. Father, we're so thankful for your love and grace and mercy, and for the love that you have for each one of us individually, Lord. Lord, I pray for these men and women. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them, that you would save them tonight, Father, and that you would keep them. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys some Bible and some literature. See the guy right over here? Turn around and go right over there. All right? Thank you so much. Awesome. 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 That is so neat. I love it.